What I want to talk about this afternoon is the God of all comfort. Everyone goes through afflictions and difficulties. No one is exempt. And so, where do we go through those times of difficulty? Whenever sufferings and afflictions come, there's always at least two choices. Number one, give up. And a lot of people do that. They isolate themselves, they try and pull themselves away from the problem, and they try and run from it. Another option is to run to God. The God who gives all comfort. And the God who can take care of things that no one else can touch. There are other things that can happen. But those are the major ones. Here I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As he talks to the saints at Corinth, he says, grace to you. May God give you beyond what you deserve. Grace is not just for the one who has failed. Grace can even be for those who are succeeding. That God would get even more. Acts chapter 4 even talks about for the apostles, says that he gave them abundant grace. If grace is being given more than what you deserve, what's abundant grace? But the idea is, here's the one who can give it. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In the middle of afflictions and sufferings and difficulties, to have peace. Peace is not the absence of difficulties. Peace is knowing that God stands with you. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we hear this phrase, Lord Jesus Christ, and we just kind of set it aside. I want you to realize, when he says Lord, he's saying, he's the one that we submit to. He's the one that we bow down before. When he tells us the direction to go, he's our Lord, so we follow. He says that's where you find grace and peace, when we submit to him. Then notice verse 3. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Father of mercies. Mercy is given when we failed and we deserve discipline. Mercy is whenever it's withheld. Consider the thought. He just talked about grace and peace. Lord Jesus Christ. What happens whenever we fail to follow what Jesus says, His Lordship? What do we desperately need? We need mercy. God's looking for us to turn back to Him. And so even in times of affliction and suffering, maybe at first, our first reaction is to run. Is to give up. And now we come back to Him and say, forgive me. And He's the Father of mercy. He's the Father of grace. And He's ready to give. And then notice what comes with it. He says, the God of all comfort. If you're going to actually find any comfort at all that's spiritual, it's going to come from God. You can't find it anywhere else. Now, you can run to a lot of things that'll be a little band-aid for a little while. But if you truly want comfort, there's only one source to draw off of. Notice verse 4. Who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Listen to where Paul and Timothy's there too. Listen to where they come from on this. They say, whenever you get comforted by the Lord, he says, I know whenever it came for us, we're here to share it for you. We want to tell you how we found our comfort. We want to show you the direction to find solace in the midst of these afflictions and sufferings. Maybe you take it this way. Here's the God of comfort who comforts us and takes care of us. Whenever He does, It's not necessarily for us to just keep it a big secret and not share it with anybody who's going through difficulties. There was a time, it was really a snowy day like today, but more icy. I was about 16 years old. My brother was off to college. My mother was a couple hours away teaching at a retreat. And it's just me and Dad at home. Dad had been out doing his job diligently and had slipped and fallen on a stoop. And on his back, he had a ball the size of a softball. It's how big the contusion was. Dad told me, I'm a 16-year-old driver, brand new at driving. He says, we need to go to the hospital. So we get there. The doctors look at him and take some x-rays, and they start to give him some pain medication. He starts to have an allergic reaction to it. I can remember sitting in the ER. My dad has not moved a muscle in more than an hour or two. And I remember just feeling all alone. No family around. No one knew about it. And I remember kneeling over in the ER in that cold little room there. And I had my eyes open and I knelt down and I started to pray and just asked that God would take care of my father. And I can vividly remember looking down and seeing the moisture of the teardrops come together on the pupil of my eye and falling off onto the white tile floor. Anytime I go to visit somebody in a hospital, I offer the same comfort that I got that day. Before I could say amen to that prayer, my father responded and said, "What are you doing?" That was exciting. That was relief and comfort. And now that comfort is the same comfort I want to share with other people when they go through difficulties. We serve a God who can touch the things that we can't touch. We serve a God who created everything good that we see. We serve a God who can change things that we can't even approach. And understand in times of difficulty and affliction, He is the source we need to draw off of and go to. If you notice it here, He says, who comforts us in all our afflictions. The comfort's not always the exact same way, but it's by the same means. It's always by God's hand. And then to understand, He says, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. So that we can offer the same comfort to them, to point them to the Lord. Think about it this way. At times, well, we really feel like we got something to complain about, but I'm here to tell you we don't. The moment we start to think we do, it's because we're getting self-centered. Whenever I was in college, we went down to Mexico and we were helping to build some concrete church buildings. And in doing that, we stayed at probably what would be considered for Mexico a 5-star hotel. If you planted it in the United States, it'd probably be about a 0.5-star hotel. But the people who were down there got up every morning. They fixed food for this large group of about 100 people. They fed us breakfast. They fed us lunch. They fed us dinner. And it's really hard to ever think that I have anything to complain about whenever they would have loved to stay at the hotel that we were at. And here I was thinking, what kind of place is this? Where have we come to? So many times the perspective is off. Here's the people who have next to nothing and they are more thankful for their next to nothing than here I am with everything. And where is my gratitude? Learning that they comforted me. They were the ones who had something to offer. I was the one who thought I was in affliction. Boy, was I a fool. And here they came to offer, have next to nothing. And here they are taking care of us. There's an encouragement. There's a comfort. You start to notice it other times. It happens. I know even for some of our own mothers. Our mothers go through times where they have miscarriages. And it's a difficulty because usually no one else knows. And through those times of difficulty, there's a family that I know who's lost several miscarriages, several children. And the attitude of the parents now is one of gratitude. One of knowing we have children that we have never seen who are standing in the presence of God. And then to see them encourage others who have lost an adult child. And to look at them and say, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. And enjoy those years that you shared. We didn't get to share those years. You got to enjoy many. So often those times where we feel like we're the ones who are in affliction, we don't understand. We don't see the sufferings and the difficulties of one another. But all of a sudden an opportunity, whenever we hold the hand of the Lord and He comforts us, whenever you see someone else go through the same difficulty, to point them to the God, to see the reality. Where there's an affliction, God brings about a comfort. Notice how He continues here in verse 4 into verse 5. Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. It doesn't matter what it is. In any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. The same comfort, no matter what the difficulty of the affliction is, the answer is always the same. God is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all mercy. He is the God of grace and peace. You want to find comfort in sufferings and afflictions? We had better approach God. We had better come before Him and say, I want to let Jesus really be the one who makes the decisions in my life and the way I'm going to go here. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to submit to You. Notice what that leads into in verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. He says, are the sufferings abundant? Are the difficulties abundant? Then understand that there is an abundant comfort that is also coming. So in the midst of a difficulty, we see it and we say, I got hope. God made a promise. He said, if there's abundant difficulty, there's an abundant comfort coming. I just have to submit to the Lord to see it. Now, if I shrink back, and if I give up, I never find that comfort. I never find the relief. Notice verse 6. But if we are afflicted, he's talking about himself. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. He says, we do it for you. Anytime we go through these difficulties and afflictions, whether it be a time without a job, then we look squarely at Matthew chapter 6 and He says, seek first My kingdom and My righteousness. I'll take care of all the physical things. There's the promise. There's the comfort. Keep going. Keep going. He says, it's for your comfort and salvation. Because we want to point you to comfort. But we have to be those who submit ourselves to the Lord. He says, abundant difficulty, there's a promise of abundant comfort. Then, look at verse 7. Excuse me, the rest of verse 6. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Notice He doesn't say, okay, and everything will be over. He says, there'll be some patient enduring. You'll have to humble yourself and submit to the Lord. And patiently endure. And you'll see My comfort. You'll see it come. Because I give you a promise. Notice how He continues verse 7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded. He says, the hope that we have is grounded firmly. It's not a shaky foundation. It's solid, stable. He says, and you can even put your hope in it. He says, your expectation that you should have for your hope. He says, our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. As you go through the difficulties of life, maybe they be health-wise, maybe they be monetarily, maybe they be in relationships, any of the areas you want to look at. He says, here's the comfort that we have for you. If you share in our sufferings, because you submit to the Lord, you will also share in all the comfort. You'll also share in the abundant comfort that comes. And you'll be able to endure. He says, He'll grant you strength. Now Paul is going to go back in his own life. Look at verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul says, I don't want you to think that it's always been easy for me. Paul says, I don't want you to just write off because I'm an apostle and think that that just makes everything easy. He says, there were times, even as an apostle, that I was burdened so excessively that I wondered if I'd even live. I was burdened so great that I knew I couldn't do it on my own. Do you ever get to those times in your life where things get so difficult and hard, you almost want to say, I can't do it anymore. This is beyond me. And that's the time to humble ourselves under His hand. That's the time to say, I'm going to walk with You. Because I want the comfort that only comes from You. Because You're the God of all comfort. And even though maybe I failed in the past, You're the God of all mercy. And I know I need beyond what I have. I need all grace. And I want to know that You're here with me through this difficulty. I need peace. He says, I don't want you to be unaware. He says, we were burdened beyond my own strength. He says, we despaired even of life. Verse 9. And by the way, he says the afflictions that happened in Asia, I don't know specifically about which one he's talking about. There's several to choose from. Several were quite difficult and hard. Had people who drew up plots to kill him. He had been scourged. He had been put in prison. He even says he fought with the wild beasts at Ephesus. I don't know whether he means man or beast, literally or not. But it's difficult and hard. Verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. We were burdened so bad, but God had a reason for it. How many times do people ask those questions? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why the affliction? Why the hardship? God's got a reason. He says, sometimes it's so great so that you don't trust in yourself. So that you will humble yourself under God's hand and do it His way. Paul said, so that we wouldn't trust in ourselves. May we never be proud enough to think that we can do it on our own. Whatever the difficulty and the affliction is, to say, it's okay, I got this. That's arrogance and pride. If you think you don't need the Lord, then you got bigger problems. Here's the picture. He says, God did it and we learned the lesson we were supposed to. We learned through the affliction. Not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. Who, by the way, can even raise the dead. That's not a problem for Him. We can't do that. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He says, we let what God did comforting us in the past affect how we look at the future. He says, look back in your own lives. The difficulties that you've had, the afflictions that you've had, the sufferings that you've had, whenever you decided you would submit to the Lord, did you make it? Were you comforted? Did you find grace and mercy and peace? You did, didn't you? when we submit to Him. He says, I see that God always took care of us. Yeah, we had to patiently endure it. Yeah, that was beyond our own strength. And so now with every new affliction that we meet, we know God will comfort us. I know that He will. Because He promised, where there's abundant suffering, there's abundant comfort. And you can be firmly established in that hope. Delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope. He says, and that's where we put our hope. In afflictions, in sufferings, in difficulties, in turmoils, to say, that's where my hope will be set. Because God promised comfort. Will I trust Him? Or will I give up? Or will I abandon God and never find any comfort until I come back to Him? If you notice the end of verse 10, and He will yet deliver us. He'll take care of us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Where does Paul turn? He says, I know our deliverance is because you've petitioned God for us. Don't take it lightly when someone asks you to pray for them. They're saying, I need help beyond my own strength. I want you to petition God for me. Hope we never take that lightly. And to understand, He says, I know. He says, joining in helping us through your prayers. Can you imagine? Just think of what He's really saying here. We look at Paul as the picture of strength and endurance. And he says, you know how I've made it? It's because I put my hope in God to grant the comfort. And because you have prayed for me. You at Corinth, have you read 1 Corinthians? Are they known for their spiritual strength? Are they known for being examples to everybody else? The only thing in 1 Corinthians that he praises them for is how they cut their hair. He says, yet you have prayed for me. He says, I want you to pray for me. He says, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. And you're thankful to God for what's happened with us. He says, for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. I want to show you one more thing before we close. Look over at Hebrews chapter 2. And just look down at the last verse of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 2 and look at verse 18. In talking about Jesus, listen to what's here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For since Jesus Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered. Did Jesus go through sufferings? Did He go through difficulties? So far beyond what we know. He says, since Jesus Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Who's ready to give the comfort and the aid? What about if it's a temptation that we struggle with? What if it's a difficulty with our tongue? What if it's a difficulty with our heart? What if it's a difficulty the way we think and our motives? What if it's a temptation to put our trust in ourselves? He says, understand this. He's ready to come to your aid. Here you come ready to submit yourself to God and the things that tempt you. I come to submit myself before you. Jesus, you're my Lord. What is He ready to offer? He's ready to offer aid. I can provide. I can comfort. I can grant you mercy. I can show you grace. And you can find peace because you're going to stand with me. And I'll give you aid and I'll give you comfort. And the greater the afflictions are, the greater the comfort that's offered. We only seem to look physically at the difficulty. We become short-sighted. We just look at the difficulty and we hang our heads and we wonder, how in the world are we ever going to make it? When we should kind of be like Abraham, who had been promised that Isaac would be, all the descendants would come through him. And yet whenever he's called to offer him up as a burnt offering, it says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was expecting God to raise him up. From what he tells those servants to say, we will return after they go up the mountain. It's as if Abraham expected after he offered up Isaac that he would just sit there and wait for God to keep his promise. Would it be a great affliction to offer up your child? No doubt. Yet what did Abraham have by faith? God will provide. God will take care of me. When our temptations are great, put your hope and trust in the Lord. He says, all the comfort and all the aid. He says, He's able to do it. The question is, will we submit to Him and find that comfort and that aid? He's ready to offer.